Now's your chance to be on Off the Ball.
Not too big, not too small, just the size of Donegal.
Get those WhatsApp voice notes in. 087 9 180 180.
Thanks for all the great sports coverage, boys.
The Football Pod on Off the Ball.
In partnership with AIB.
Proud sponsors of the GAA Senior Football Championship.
Check out hashtag the toughest for more.
Hi folks, how are you all doing? Thanks very much for coming out tonight. I've got Paddy Andrews with me and James O'Donoghue, of course, in the Football Pod. We're delighted to be in the Mount Argyle Hotel here in Letterkenny. It's a big journey for us, James. How did you make your way up the road?
Well, it was a day.
From Clarny, like?
I had to fly Kerry to Dublin.
Oh.
I nearly missed the flight, by the way, actually, because you have to be there 2 hours before. Got to Dublin, had to drive all the way from Dublin in worst traffic of all time.
Is this
just the hardest drive I've ever...
Wind up.
Why?
How did you get from Dublin to here? I drove, chauffeur drive, Jimmy, up all the way from Dublin. Had to take the little lad's baby seat out of the back seat, set up a bed for him in the back of the Jeep, bottle of ice champagne, you name it. He's having to sleep in the back of the car.
We got to Alma,
so I'm driving through. I was in work this morning. Jimmy's after getting his flight. He's like, will you put something on the radio there for me? I was like, what, Jimmy, there's Spotify. Put whatever you want on. I'm grand. I'm not really into the music. I'll be fine.
What did he go for?
90s classics, TLC and Westlife on the loop. 2 hours.
And you belted hours. Out every song on the motorway all the way up.
A tough day travelling. Jesus Christ.
We got here, and thanks to everyone for making the journey up. I've definitely seen a couple of Derry jerseys here.
What?
Yeah.
What?
There's a couple of Derry jerseys there. We've obviously got a few Tyrone jerseys.
A big weekend. Big
yeah,
weekend.
The Tyrone crowd. And definitely a few Donegal people here as well. All right. Definitely.
Good job.
We are here with thanks to AIB, proud sponsor of the Senior Football Championship. They're bringing us on the road a couple of times this year. It's fantastic. We will be in Croke Park a little later this year. But tonight, James, we're in a place that's very special to you. Donegal.
Is it?
Yeah.
It's a beautiful county, like, same as Kerry, but...
But Donegal will hold a special place in your heart, no?
Why?
Have you been here before, Jimmy, have you?
Huh? Well... Oh...
Should I not have gone there?
That was a good day, all right, no, to be fair.
Disrespect. That's lazy, is it? Disrespect.
2014 All-Ireland Final. Kerry robbed Donegal that day.
We did, to be fair.
Ye set up with double sweepers, blanket defences.
How dare you, double sweepers.
You
blanket defences.
You never even took a shot that day. Football
I did,
year.
I took one, it went wide. No, that was a good day, to be fair, but...
Yeah.
Oh, well, Jesus Christ.
Actually, you can just leave that up there for the evening, if you don't mind.
We have a couple of very special guests here tonight. I'm really excited to be bringing up one of the greatest forwards of the 2000s, Owen Muggsy Mulligan. He would have caused a little bit of heartache for Donegal, but as we'll hear, Donegal weren't really on his radar in the mid-2000s. We'll come back to that a little later on. But as well as that, we have a hometown hero, Eamon McGee from Gweedore, living in Letterkenny. And... Eamon was the first man I called when we were coming to Donegal. And straight away he was like, Mount Argyle Hotel, great spot to go. And he's right, it's beautiful here. But when I told him he was on with Paddy and James, there was a little bit of trepidation, as we saw on Twitter. I'm going to feel nervous with two corner forwards and not a sweeper in sight.
Well, is that right? He's right.
Paddy's a back.
Oh yeah!
I boo.
Paddy's cornerback for the double Super Bowl 5 years.
I forgot about Paddy.
I was an insult to the defensive division of GAA.
Well, you should have heard what McGee said to me on the phone when I told him Owen Mulligan was coming, because he absolutely hates forwards.
He hates Muggsy more.
He hates them. And we're going to ask him about that in a few minutes. But I started thinking last night, like, what does McGee have against forwards? It's not just Eamon, obviously. His brother Neil as well has no time for them.
Jesus.
It's a gruesome twosome, as they're known. Would not like to be facing those boys now.
Jesus Christ.
Yeah, so there's a bit of a hit list that I'm able to run through here. Our first victim on the McGee hit list, Killian O'Connor. I don't know what sort of a chokehold that is, but...
If it's Killian O'Connor, he fucking deserved it.
He wasn't the only one. Do you know who that is? That's wee Matty Donnelly. I'd say he's only making his debut for Tyrone back then.
Papa Durkin in the background. Papa Durkin. Peacemaker.
Durkin has no interest in breaking that up.
I don't even know what McGee's doing there.
He's going for the Stone Cold Stunner from behind.
And then, of course, who is that? Kieran Donaghy. There's only one way of dealing with Donaghy.
Hold on.
Go back to that.
The belly on Donaghy.
Yeah.
That must have been in January, was it?
You're back. No, I think it was in January.
He started Pilates in February after that.
Yeah.
But anyways, send me that photo.
He still won that ball, Donaghy.
So, I actually think, boys, sit down there for a second. I actually think it's a bit deep-rooted, a bit more deep-rooted than that. I think he just doesn't like forwards personally because they all fancy themselves a little bit.
Yeah.
Oh. No. Do you know what I mean?
I don't accept that.
No?
No.
What about the old peroxide blonde phase that we would have had in the mid-2000s? Owen Mulligan there with Eamon McGee looking on at him in disdain. Muggsy wasn't the only one who had the dyed hair. Bit of Mark Vaughan as well. It really was a trend. But then McGee said he'd get a bit of it too. Now, I know this was a thing in the mid-2000s.
Oh,
what is the story with those blonde highlights?
Celtic Tiger.
Defenders Celtic can't Tiger. Pull that off.
Everyone got carried away.
That's Celtic a, Tiger. About the bleach that got spilled somewhere at home, I'd say. That is absolutely awful.
Yeah, but look, I figured it out then. It wasn't to do with the physical hatred. It wasn't the personal problems. It's the fact that all forwards are diving, cheating, scam artists. And we're going to start with Paddy Andrews.
Whoa, hold on.
What? Look at that swan dive. He won a penalty for that. He won a penalty in an All-Ireland final for that. Let's see it.
Clearly no contact.
Poor Rob Henley, 2016 All-Ireland final. Andrews, arms out.
Stonewall.
That's a dive. That
Stonewall.
Is not a penalty in my
Stonewall.
Book.
Stonewall.
Anywhere else in the field.
Hold on. Do you know why?
He's looking at the ref as he's going down there. Like, that is shocking.
Do you know why that's definitely a penalty? Because I was like, I was fucking mad to try and score a goal in All-Ireland final. And I knew there wasn't a chance Jim Gamble was going to let me take the penalty. So I was like, get this into the net somehow.
If you got that, you'd have fisted it over.
Yeah.
100%.
Paddy, don't worry. You're not the only one. We have a very special guest coming up here, Owen Mulligan, who's won 3 All-Ireland medals, 03, 05. But this moment from the 2008 All-Ireland final was not his finest moment. Oh. Late on, game in the melting pot, Muggsy has the ball, Tyrone need a score.
Muggsy.
Can we get that one more time, please? What is going
slow-mo.
On here?
Ultra slow-mo, please.
No wonder McGee hates you to the core.
That is a disgrace.
Yeah. Oh, well, actually, here's the last one. We may as well go for it. The worst of the lot. James O'Donoghue, you had a bit of a reputation, my friend.
How dare you?
2015 Championship against Cork.
That's a stonewall penalty.
Now, watch it back.
Look at that. That's a red card offence. Watch this. He nearly takes down my shorts.
We would have said that about you. Yeah. Don't worry, Jimmy's going to go down easy. Yeah,
you did have a bit of a reputation.
He did.
And
wrongly. Thank you, Tommy.
I know we're in the golden era of punditry now with the football pod and the two of you up course, there, but there was a few people that day that took umbrage with James O'Donoghue taking a fall.
The thing that they showed today was courage, conspicuous courage, and hard running and harder running. And they suffered the affront of the penalty. I mean,
yes.
Wee Potty, in fairness, he wouldn't know a penalty if it bit him in the arse. I mean, it was
not.
No, it was never a penalty.
Well, we could look
and in spite of it,
he looked at it in an instant, he made it.
Well, he was wrong. He was 100% wrong in every way, and no one thought it was a penalty.
He made his decision.
James O'Donoghue reached the hand in and fell over. It was never a penalty.
If there's one man I always agree with, it's Joe Bradley.
Joe fucking Wally, not Joe Bradley.
Ah, come on.
Fucking disgrace.
That's not fair. The man isn't here to defend himself.
Stonewall penalty.
Hold on, Bradley's not here to defend himself. But listen.
It's blasphemy.
I actually went Googling James O'Donoghue, Joe Bradley afterwards, and there's a bit of a common theme running here. Do you know what that issue goes back to? Why doesn't he like it?
What did you do to Bradley?
I just didn't appreciate a great football night.
Well,
I don't know. There wasn't. Do you know what it was? It was a Twitter spat, I think.
Well, I have a theory. Yeah, let's get to that.
It was a Twitter spat.
The morning after that Donegal All-Ireland final win in 2014 when you robbed Donegal, let's just have a look at this. James O'Donoghue, he's at a feed of pints, 9:53 a.m. the next morning.
What do you make of that?
Well, Joe Brawley, what do you make of that?
That's Killarney lingo there, Paddy.
9:53 a.m. That
you didn't even
night.
Tag the man. Could I get that back up one more time, please? Well done, kiddo, and do something about your hair. What's he on about? What was that about?
I had a lovely haircut at the time.
Well, let's have a look at it, so. 4 bad haircuts, 4 Celtic crosses, Kyria Brew, Brawley is a badger.
He was losing hair, to be fair, at that time. That's Barry John Keane pre-Turkey.
He's some hair down there, doesn't he?
He's like a better hair than me. No, yeah.
That was the heyday of Twitter. Thankfully, that's gone now. when you had a bit of personality on it. Nowadays, you're just tweeting out links and stuff to the pod, so fair play to you. I think it's time to get our first special guest of the night out. Can you please put a very warm Donegal and Football Pod welcome together for the one and only Eamon McGee.
Hey.
Eamon, how are you? Eamon.
Tommy.
Thanks for joining us.
Cheers, good to be here. Good to be in the Mount Errigal. Looking forward to it.
Yeah, the boom is back, boy.
Seems to be, the boom is back. Jimmy's back winning matches, so we'll take it. We've come on a bit since last year. I was chatting to a few supporters after the Ulster final. And coming down the road from Newry, down beat us in the first round, we were thinking geez. Division 3,
wow.
Division 4. So we're Ulster champions, and we'll take that for now and see how we get on with the big boys here in the next few weeks.
Was I unfair before you come up on stage? I'm going to give you your opportunity to have your say. It's probably actually not that personal with forwards, is it? You actually don't mind them, probably.
No, I do. I think you were being overly lenient on them. I've developed a thing for forwards over the years, and I think they're the most selfish. How do I put this politely now?
You don't have to be too polite.
I just think it's all about them. And we're doing the donkey work back there. Muggsy will be up here, and it's the same crack. He'll score the goal, and it's all about the wonder goal, but it's not about the...
What about forwards who also played in the backs? They're all right, are they?
It depends how they get on in the backs.
If they're fucking awful in the backs. Do you feel sorry for them then?
No, I've seen the start of your career, Paddy, I remember it, and at least you have a bit of... You know what it's like.
I do.
I don't think the likes of James here and Muggsy know that we're dogging ourselves. We're out there. And then we hand the ball to yous. He's put the ball over the bar, and everybody's looking at yous then.
Take all the credit.
I've developed a wee...
There's a bit of a siege mentality there, is there?
For...
Forwards. You just don't like them.
No, I don't like them. And do you know what? Forwards are on about the blanket defence and this and that. It was actually because these are lazy bastards that the that the blanket came in the first place. Because
challenge that. I'd say the blanket came in because you couldn't fucking defend 101, like.
We'll debate that. We'll debate that.
It's gonna be a long night, lads.
But what it was, you know, forwards are gonna put in let on years ago, but they're actually working hard now. Years ago, forwards would go and let on, they're gonna put a tackle in, cause the overlap, and then it's a 3v2 at the back. Yeah. So people started saying, you know what? Because they're lazy bastards, we'll take everybody back, plug the defense, and then, you know, we'll not be as exposed. So thanks, forwards.
Yeah. We will be luxuriating in the greatness of one of the finest footballers to score one of the best goals of all time in a little while in O'Mulligan. But I did promise you that I would dig through the archives and I would find a little bit of a highlight from Eamon McGee's career that we could show when the YouTube footage is good enough. Eamon McGee actually, I don't know if this is a thing, has one of the greatest pre assists of all time. Let's have a look. There's McGee, 2014 All-Ireland semi-final. Eamon McGee, nosebleed territory, slips to Anthony Thompson. What's going to happen next?
Who won this one?
Thompson to Ryan McHugh. Now, a lot of people, Eamon, wouldn't appreciate what you've done there.
The hand pass?
Yeah.
You can rewind that 30 seconds and Paul Flynn actually puts the ball into a Gara there and I get out in front of it. So
we actually had that in another highlights video that we might see later on. Stuff. So that's it. Those days back then, right, because we're talking about the boom being back, and it's amazing how quickly it's all kind of sprung into action for Donegal. Because look, we knew that there was a lot of quality on the field in Donegal over the last couple of years. Our favourite phrase on the pod over the last years has been Donegal on paper, and we were banned from saying it. Mm-hmm. But back when he took over in 10-11, you boys hadn't won an Ulster game in about 4 years. Were you thinking, that's it?
In 11?
Mm.
Ah, yeah, geez, like, I think it's well publicized at that stage where, you know, you'd like say Kevin walking away, thought Cass walked away, his time with Donegal, the chance with Donegal had been passed, and I remember, you know, meeting McGuinness and him talking about winning all Ireland's and nodding ahead, but not deep down, because we'd heard it all before, not deep down believing it. So the lads obviously jumped, and if the lads are being honest too, you know, they chat about this hotel and Ross and Downing's, and I would say a few of them didn't believe it either. It was okay. Only until, you know.
Who was he meeting? Because he reading back on some of the coverage back then, he picked out a couple of characters. And when I say characters,
the Tracksuit Ravers, that's what it was.
Rory Cavan was one.
Rory was one. I think his brother-in-law might have been on that list too. Colm.
Yeah.
Who else?
There was yourself and Neil.
Myself and Neil. Cass would have been on the list, definitely. And basically what it was, that we got the name the Tracksuit Ravers because we were leaving the Donegal dressing room and we wouldn't even bother putting on a pair of jeans and we're heading to the grill was going at the time. It's knocked down now, but straight into the grill and the Donegal tracksuits and out for everybody. And it's a good thing there was no camera phones going at the time because there would have been no Donegal queer if the camera phones were gone.
Yeah. He didn't convince you that day.
Oh, he did not. No. Well, he did get him because I met him on the Thursday night. And he says, you're going to have to change your ways, Eamon. You know, you have to, you're at a path here. You can either go my way or you can just keep going the way that is one you nothing. And I left that house and I says, flip it. I'm going to have a good pint now. And then I'll.
I'm going to mull over it.
That's the way home.
And then, I'll go Jim's way. So the GA in Gidor had a disco that night. And. Of course, I was telling the boys, the famous, you know, I'll go for a few pints now. And eventually, the Thursday went into the Friday. And then at a wedding, Saturday. And the Saturday was going. And at a club game, I think it was on Sunday, we were playing St. Michael's. And I missed the club game. And obviously, word got back to McGuinness. And McGuinness in his book says that I had a gym program. So he gave me a gym program at that meeting. He says that the gym program in my back pocket over about Dunloe on the Friday. But.
Oh, he thinks that you let it out, what the gym program was?
He says there's a gym program found over in Dunloe, but I think he's embellishing that story.
You had it memorized. That's why you left it after.
I think it might have been doing a few gym moves over about Dunloe. So the gym got word and he says, nah, listen,
you're
gone. And, you know, thankfully, things changed then in the next few months now, but
you were lucky. You were dropped. It wasn't the first time. I think it was the last time.
Oh yeah, that was at that stage. Jesus.
Yeah, I think it was the last. We might come back to that a little later on. We're talking about relationships and managers.
With Jim coming in, really similar thing with Pat on our side, like trying to change the culture and all that stuff. So
he gives what do you mean culture?
Well, Dublin weren't successful at all either, and the whole thing kind of needed to change as well. Similar to what Donegal were trying to do, that there was probably good players there, but the whole trying to win the All-Ireland, it's a very, very different mindset and just attitude you need to have. And I know I myself was similar enough, got a bit excited at times when I was younger and wasn't going to perform at the levels that you needed to try and win the All-Ireland. You were just, I don't know, young or naive or whatever. But for Jim to bring you back, what was the conversation? So you do that, and he gives you, he scolds you, Eamon, and then, what is it, a couple of months later, he's like, come back, or you approach him, or what was the dynamic of that?
Do you know what? He needed a bloody quarterback.
That always helps if you're needed. Like.
Yeah. And that's what opened the door. But
geez, you were lucky. You were lucky.
He reached out to you and it's like, listen now, I know we all had, because we had a few drinks.
We got through the league and I think he'd realise, you know,
they were light.
They were light now. And I was actually playing good stuff for the club.
Yeah.
I'd went back and I'd kind of resigned myself because the likes of Big Neil, Christy and Neil, and they were saying, you know, this man's not going to change his mind.
Yeah.
But he knew, like he'd obviously known Neil. I think Murphy had a wee conversation with him, like, this is
So he came to you, did he?
He came to me and met me in my house that time. And it's kind of comical because Neil was in drinking tea in the kitchen and me and McGuinness were trashing it out in the sitting room. And
you had a few cans.
I just have them with cans. It's right, Jim.
We'll have one.
Well, that was
Thursday turned into Friday.
That was the. Thankfully, yeah, I think it was more like, I know we definitely did the cornerback or the someone for that full back line, probably the free up the likes Lacey or Frank.
Yeah.
And the fact that he thought, you know, I was a decent lad too behind it all.
Mm. You eventually earn your way back into the team. I think it's around the Kildare game you come on. You start the All-Ireland semi-final against Dublin.
Yeah.
And I've heard you say before that everyone kind of understood this is phase one of the plan.
There
was no expectation really to win the All-Ireland that year.
Well, you still want to win. You still want to win. And I think that if we'd a wee bit more belief in ourselves in that semi-final, we would have beat Dublin. But we were, I don't want to say restricted by the way we set up, but we were... It's the funniest ringtone I ever heard.
Whose phone is that?
It's all right, you can answer it.
You go on.
That there is a unions man and he'll be looking to sell a few lotto tickets in a bit.
Sell away. You needed to develop the game plan that bit more, which we saw.
We did. Yeah. But in terms of, we were disappointed after the game, but you know, when you sit back and you look at the season, we knew there was a wee bit more to be added to it.
But to go from not believing to the extent that you weren't committing, to then a few months later being back in and the whole group believing that you could actually do what this man is telling you, that must have been mad, given what you had gone through from the start of your Donegal career of falling short and not feeling like you were good enough to beat the great Tyrone team or the Armagh team. It was mad.
It was, you know, you kind of had to, you're on that journey and you'd gone from, it's a harsh thing to say, but a loser mentality to being up there and, you know, mixing it with the likes of the Kerrys, the Dublins and the Tyrones. Well, maybe not the Dublins at that time now, but you were near enough it.
But we had the same thing as well, Eamon. It's very rare, we said this, I know Muggsy will chat about their own side of things as well. It's very rare a team comes out of nowhere and wins the All-Ireland. It's so competitive. There's so many hurdles to go. It is so cliche, but a journey, like you, it is probably 12, 18, 24 months, possibly longer for teams where you're knocking on the door. And you learn a lot from that. And I think that's a surprise. Dublin were definitely the same under Pat. We were naive. You think you're ready, but you're not. You get your feedback on the pitch. That's the reality. And I know we probably chat about our game in 14, which was a massive game for us as a team, as much as a win it was for Donegal. You just learn from these things. The harshest place you get your feedback is on the pitch, and you might think you're doing everything right, and then you realise you're not. And it was a journey for us. It was a journey for you guys to win in 14, Jimmy, for you, Eamon, obviously in 12. And I think that's the fascinating thing. I know we'll talk about tomorrow night, probably later on in the show. But chat to anyone from Donegal at the start of the year, from the low ebb they were on, really low ebb last year, and you said Eamon last year, when they lose to Down and they're relegated, they're thinking, Donegal are going to go back to like the mid-90s here. They're going to be Division 3, Division 4. And what McGuinness has done, the progress has been so rapid to not lose a game, to win Division 2, get promoted, and then to win the Ulster Championship. And yeah, I still think I didn't think they'd win the Ulster Championship. I thought it was too early for them. I thought, yeah, they're on a journey now, but they proved me wrong. They proved a lot of people wrong. And they start tomorrow night for an All-Ireland series, and I don't think they'll win the All-Ireland either. But
are we seeing shades, though, of that progression from 11, 12 to what you became? Do you think we're seeing shades?
I played that game. Yeah. I played against Donegal in 12.
Yeah.
And it was like nothing I'd ever seen before.
Was that quarterfinal?
That was the quarterfinal where Murphy got the outside of the boot sideline that bounced into the net. Complete flu.
We'll not mention the Donaghy goal then in 14.
It cancels out.
That was a great finish. But I remember being on the field thinking, this is like something I hadn't seen. Because before that, Munster was so almost 15 out of 15 and...
Shite.
Yeah, there was no...
We're in Leinster, we can't say it in Ederle.
But there was no... There was no kind of outside thinking, and Donegal were the first team to kind of think outside the box. And they were, like, you were aggressive, but you were filthy as well, like, do you know what I mean? Like, he kind of brought that kind of...
What do you mean by that? GB, everyone's filthy.
I remember I was coming out of my hotel room that morning, and I was coming out with Danny. We were late for the meeting. And I said, fuck it, I'm just going to go back and brush my teeth. And Danny goes, for fuck's sake, there's going to be nobody from Donegal who's going to want to kiss you today. After the game, we were bait. I was thinking, they want to do a lot worse than fucking kiss. They want to take you out to dinner. Some of the stuff they were fucking doing to you that day. But it was just like a different mentality of a team. Do you know, like Munster was so... It was so safe in terms of your full forward line, your half forward line. I remember playing inside in the full forward line. There was bodies everywhere. It was just revolutionary. And that's what McGuinness has done. Like, everything is just so different. Like.
It must have felt powerful.
It was. I think the dynamic of the group, it was a great... Whatever about medals, and I've always said this, whatever about medals and won the Ulster Championships and won the All-Ireland, to train in that environment, to train, like... Yeah. I always see Kerry Lacey, it's one of the best things. You know, going on a run, so we're dogging ourselves to training, and Kerry Lacey going on this run and taking off and leading the group, and he's absolutely out on his feet, and McGuinness says, folks, I need to go for another one. Does he always love to spring these runs on us?
The extra
have to do an extra one. And Lacey was gassed out now, and he got up and he led the next one. And to be part of a group that does that is powerful. It's powerful. And
would McGuinness do, because we've heard rumours obviously of their training this year, like, is it a case of you're training every day for 2 months at a time? Like that, because that's what the feedback is of this team.
No.
It's like it's been, they're getting together every night from December through January doing something. Was that the case?
They'll be in the gym. It's kind of different now because it's a lot more of input from the S&C side of it. But they'll be contributing in some way, be it in the regional gym, or you know, then you have the Tuesday, Thursday, and the weekend session, and then the analysis session. So it's where you need to be at. Like, if I was listening to Paddy chat there about after, you know, in terms of the commitment level, and you know about it too, James, that. The medals aren't handed out to you, and I don't think if they were handed out to you, would they be much cop anyway? Like, so you have to put in something. Like, people talk about inter-county football, it's not enjoyable and there's not much crack about it. Like, but to be part of something like that, there to commit
the crack
to something,
is.
Did anyone? Good. Do you know when you're doing those runs and you're being pushed to the limits? Did anyone ever say no?
I remember one of the lads, I'll not mention him now.
This is a safe place, Ava. Mention his name.
No, because there's a few St. Michael's lads out there now. One of the lads, and we were over in O'Donnell Park and we were doing the runs, and I think the second run, he just says, do you know what? Fuck this. I'm away. And he walked off the field. And there was another time up in Balbuffet, and...
And did he stay on the panel?
Oh, you see, he came back. You know, you have to put the arm around these boys sometimes and tell them that... And there was another time up in Balbuffet, we're doing another humdinger, and again, coming up to the last few runs, I just says, nah, Jim, I'm away here. I'm away to fuck. And he says, give me just one more run. And I just got up and got through it. Like, but it was always that battle in your head.
Yeah.
Like,
and how was he the one to make the switch? Because I've heard you say before that the drinking culture or the stories that were there about Donegal in the 2000s, sometimes looking back in hindsight, it's a bit of a cop-out or an excuse. Mm-hmm. That there was something else missing along the way. There was a steeliness.
100%. Like, the drinking, people were saying, and Muggsy will touch on this, nobody partied more than Muggsy there. And he has three All-Irelands. The drinking was a symptom of just the weak mentality. And it's a harsh thing to say, but we were all part of it. And we just weren't at the races. When there was matches to be won during that time against Armagh, against, you know, Tyrone, Cavan, whoever. And we ended up losing them. and it was nothing to do with how many pints we had or what we were at, and it was just we just didn't fully commit to that thing there.
Okay, there's a couple of stories we might get to a little later on that might put that one to the test. I'd love to welcome out our second special guest. Now, please give him a nice reception. I know there's a home and away crowd here, but really excited to welcome Owen Muggsy Mulligan to the football pod. Hey. In Mount Dunedin.
All right.
Thanks, Owen. Fair play, boy.
A bit here beside Paddy.
Look after. We've a couple of highlights rolling here, Owen, and I think we've actually got it here right now, and we're going to play this again in a minute because the commentary makes it, but like...
Turn it up a bit.
Are you still dining off that goal?
Turn it up a bit.
It's great commentary as well, isn't it?
You got one in the replay a week later. You loved this one, didn't you? Look at that.
There's a few there now.
Ah, Muggsy, Jesus.
Yeah. Bit of a Cantona celebration there.
Yeah.
This is a beautiful goal.
Handing off Galvin. Who's that coming?
True that.
Peter Canavan. Oh. Yeah. So listen, lovely. Delighted to have you. Look at everything was happening for him back then.
Man of the people. Look at this guy.
We might just go through the goal again. And could we actually roll the commentary? Because Darren Maloney's commentary that day really makes it.
Griffin. Stephen O'Neill has it back for Tyrone. Seeking out Owen Mulligan. Mulligan out in front. Chris, the end of the game. Mulligan, they've got to work a score from this. Owen Mulligan, options to his left. Still Mulligan! What a goal! That is one of the great goals we've seen at Croke Park. Magic Mulligan.
That is the best goal of all time, though. Like, honestly, without doubt, the best goal.
What?
I've ever seen.
He took about 30 fucking steps.
No.
Do you ever get sick of that?
No.
Now I know why you hate them.
I know McGee would make you feel like George Best, wouldn't he?
Yeah.
No, look, great memories. Every so often it comes up on social media and you get the odd text, but people probably don't know I was about to be subbed. I think Peter Canavan told Mickey to keep me on. I think Marty Penrose was coming on to me, and then that happened, so it kind of changed my season. I was injured most of it and enjoying myself probably too much. And
this is 2005.
Yeah,
you're allowed to enjoy yourself, Muggsy, don't worry.
And then this is like therapy. So that happened and it kind of changed the season. I went on to win the All-Ireland in 2005, which was great.
There's a bit of a family connection here. There's a clip that was rolling there. I don't think it was the actual goal, but the man sitting beside you here, his brother Patter, played a lot with Dublin, and he was playing that day.
I think he's the ninth defender you don't beat. He gets caught out.
Yeah.
I was at that game. I was only a young fella. I remember it was amazing because Pillar was the Dublin coach. Dublin had only won the Leinster Championship in 2005, a couple of years before. Westmead had won it in 2004 under Paddy, and Mako had won it with Laois. It was a very different time for Dublin, but that was a massive game. Like I said, Celtic Tiger, sellouts in Croker all the time. And that Tyrone team was an amazing team. They'd won the All-Ireland in 2003, obviously, and would go on 10 matches that year.
Mm.
10 to win the All-Ireland. Obviously, Meade and Down in 91. Meade fell short in their 10th game, but it was just a special occasion. And I was only young for him. My brother was playing, he was one of the guys he mugged off, no pun intended. But it was just an incredible, talking about a journey for the Dublin team, but it was just to see the levels of that Tyrone team. Yourself, Peter, obviously, iconic. Jordan,
Stevie O'Neill giving the ball.
Stephen O'Neill, Jesus.
What were those boys like to play against, Eamon? Did you play against them a few times?
I would play it against them a few times, but we were nowhere near that level. Like, when you think, who do you go to stop now?
Because Muggsy said he always loved playing against Donegal.
I'm sure he did.
I had never no problem against Donegal, as in, like,
exactly.
You know, like, it was, you know,
that was the problem.
You know, it was like. even the supporters, you're fucking so friendly, like it's unbelievable. Like, it was more like Derry and Armagh, we used to fucking kill each other. Like,
and that leads back to, you know, my point, that did we know how to compete? Because yeah. It seems to be the way of the world now that the good guys aren't going to be at the top. Like,
exactly.
You said it, Jimmy. You guys were filthy, and I don't know, kind of tongue in cheek a bit as well. Like, but the reality is that at that level of the game, to win the biggest prizes, you have to be. You can't make it easy for anyone.
No, there's a balance. There's a balance to be had.
Yeah, I know. But like this Kerry are kind of, and even Dublin are perceived. Oh, we play football the right way. No, you kind of do what you have to do to win.
You have to. I think you have to have a couple of tramps in your team.
I would have used a different word, but yes. We're on the same page. So,
you know, you have to have them boys to take it to the line.
Enforcers is the word.
Enforcers. There's the media man there.
We were fortunate now. We had probably four or five now that would take it to the line, and they were excellent at it. But we had also hard men that would protect you, like. If a row started, like, you'd want Kevin Hughes in your back straight away. Like, Hub Hughes, unbelievable. You had Conor Gormley. You had Racy would talk himself into a row and out of a row. You know, you had them sort of boys there. But, as I said, if you want to win the big prizes, that's what you have to have.
Yeah. And, boy, you lads won the big prizes back then. Patter. We mentioned that earlier on. He got quite close to Owen a few times.
Not close enough.
We might have an image here. We don't have an image here, but you do have a present for Owen. Explain it to the crowd here what happened that day.
What did you ever... That jersey and your boots must be hanging up over the bed at home, are they? You must be dying off that for...
No.
20 years now. 19 years.
I heard this. You have this jersey, do you?
I don't know.
I have no idea what you're talking about.
I hope we do. I hope it's the right jersey.
I heard this.
That's for you, Muggsy. That's from today. No point me having it.
Good man.
Keep that. That's magic moment.
Very good.
That's the top.
Very good. Thanks very much. I know it is.
It's very fucking loose. Jesus.
Fucking. Is that player fit, is it?
No player fit back then. That's the jersey.
Very good.
And I don't want it anymore, and we definitely don't want it in Dublin. So,
I heard just talking about it, to be honest with you.
Back in the day, Paddy mentioned it a couple of years ago.
I heard just talking about it.
And there's one for everyone in the audience.
But look, this is going to be really good because the boots that I scored the goal with, God rest them, Barney Eastwood bought them.
Yes.
For $30,000 to do the pitch up. And we're doing the pitch up at the minute. And Holy Trinity College and Peter Canavan is driving that force as well, so hopefully this can go up for auction as well someday.
That's brilliant. Nice. You should have it.
Thanks very much.
Magic.
Brilliant.
Is it a guess?
Is Paddy, are you allowed to say that you wore that to Bridget's train for a couple of years?
I was only a kid, I used to wear it. But that's what it was about, like.
So Patter obviously went up to you after the game. What does that happen? Because you see it happening in soccer. I actually caught Conor McManus and Paul Gainey swapping jerseys the last day. I thought it was a nice moment. It doesn't happen that much in GA, but it's happening a bit now.
We didn't do it anymore, like. We never swapped with our crew, like.
I think it's the management as well, saying, I don't want them boys' jersey. Yeah. It's the whole siege mentality. Don't be swapping jerseys. You see it in soccer and all that crack, but...
I think it's cool.
That's what we kind of... You don't want them boys' jersey. No problem.
Yeah.
You know? But it's a bit of respect, isn't it? Like, that is... We can all talk about it. We're all finished. We're all washed up now. you look back at moments like that is, for you, obviously, and for Tyrone and supporters, an iconic moment. But anyone who loves Gaelic football and see that goal and just... I was in the stadium that day, heartbroken. I was only a young fella. And Dublin weren't going to win the game, but that's what it's about, really.
That's great.
So you've given away the most famous goal in GA history and given away that jersey for free, Paddy. And you're a financial advisor now.
For charity, Amo, for charity. I had a 10-minute conversation with Amo beforehand about fucking cryptocurrency. This show is sponsored by AIB as well.
Don't invest in crypto. That's the only tip.
You mentioned it earlier on, right, that
you could have the crack and still win. You boys certainly had the crack when you were collecting all Ireland medals, didn't you?
Which crack do you want to hear about?
It depends. You can pick it up here. So like, 03, right, 03, Mickey Hart tricks you into going on a drinking ban, doesn't he?
Mickey was always good at saying, right lads, we're going to give you a couple of pints here, but what would be the limit? And you would say, well, maybe five. No, five would be too much.
What do you think of three?
What do you think of three? And then we'd say, I have three. Yeah, three would be all right. But maybe three is too much. What do you think of two? And then we'd keep going down. Well, no, and then we'll take one. There was no point in taking one. You would just drink bomb. You know, that sort of way. Like, that's the way Mickey would have betrayed it. Like,
so you were setting the drink ban yourself, not Mickey Hart.
That's right. So we'd just come back to the players. That's the genius that he was. But we could never do that because there's always boys like... You know, we had a great team. Big McGee says about them lads. Like we had Jared Calvin, Brian McGuigan, Billy Jordan, Hub, myself, McGuigan. Them boys all love to fucking paint and love to crack. Like, yeah. You know, I still say it to this day, they led me to the bad. Like,
Chris Sloan would have been a big influence on you, wouldn't he?
Massively, Crickle, like. I used to travel up like he was like, fucking wise up lad, you know, catch yourself on. And I'm like, I didn't do nothing like, and he goes, I'd fucking heard about you, like I heard about you, all week, like, you know. And I was like, right, that's fair enough. But he was massive influence in my career. Canavan was too, like Canavan used to hear the crack too around Cookstown. He was teaching in Cookstown. So as I said, there was no phones or no cameras in there. It's maybe a good job, but. Them boys would have heard of him.
Yeah, the Canavan relationship, we do know that, you know, you were a student of his, and it was often said after as the master and the student, and you got to play with him, and that must have been amazing when you were breaking through. You mentioned the boots earlier on. Were they Adidas?
Aye. We were always pranking each other anyway, and Canavan's phone dropped out of his pocket in the meal, and we got it and took a few photographs and sent a few taxes. Which we shouldn't have, like, you know, text Father McAleer time, could you come up to the room here, I need to say a prayer, whatever it is.
You could see
Father McAleer come past him. That was alright.
That's ruthless.
That was okay. Different county board members come flying across the table. Two minutes, whatever.
Because if Peter says something.
Yeah, so he wasn't happy. He wasn't happy. So 3 months down the line, I get a phone call to say, how you doing? Such and such from Adidas here. Would like to sponsor you. And I was like, fuck me, Adidas, like, Jesus Christ, this is great. Like, and there was a time with David Beckham, whatever, and, you know, you thought, this is unreal. He says, could you meet me in the Black Horse Bar? Like, is $5,000 enough? Is any amount of boots enough? Any gear enough? And you're like, no problem at all. He says, oh, there's just one thing, could you wear a suit? And I was like, no problem at all. I was living at home at the time. Rung me, ma, look, polish your shoes there, get the suit out. I've been sponsored by Adidas.
And when is this? This is like, you're top of your game around this time.
Top of the game, everything's flying. So that was all right.
2003.
I walks in, 2003. I walks in like Conor McGregor to the fucking Black Horse Bar. And there's the barmaid, like, and she was fucking even in on it too, like, the more I was like, and she says to me, well, Owen, what's the crack? I says, straight away, is Adidas rapping here by any chance?
You thought Beck was going to be there. Like, you've got to come out with a Beck.
I thought, Paddy, this is fucking unreal. So I was all right. She goes, look, would there be any chance of me taking a photograph of you? Just my cousin's looking at a photograph. I says, no problem. So it was me. I give him a thumbs up. Canavan walks in. What are you doing, lad? I says, nothing. He says, what are you doing? I says, Adidas rap. It's coming for me. He says, catch yourself all, will you? there was me plastered, this photograph plastered all over the change rooms that night, giving it fucking loads. But long story short, after Mickey Coleman, but maybe I'd say about 5-6 years later.
Yeah, I don't know what he, as well.
Yeah,
he?
I don't know what he did to me, but he fucking annoyed me. And he says to me,
what about these boots you're getting? And I was like, oh,
because you were doing a bit with Adidas then.
I was. I eventually got the deal, by the way.
I eventually got the deal,
but look at Mickey, this fella rung Mickey. I was in the back of the car at the time. And he says, how you doing, Mickey? It's such and such from Umbro. He says, look, you're playing great stuff. Would there be any chance of sponsoring you? And he says, look, Umbro, not a bit of soccer. He says, look, we sponsor Alan Shearer. He says, but we've seen you in recent times.
There's the Adidas gear. So it was legit. You were getting a bit of a jam.
So he says, yeah, no problem at all. Mickey went into a spiel of stuff. Look, if the boot's not right for me, I'll not wear it. I don't care how much gear you're giving me or how much money you're giving me, I'll not wear it. I am telling you now. He says, and I'm wearing Puma King at the minute, and they're my boots. And the boy says, no problem at all. He says, no, look. He says, what size are you? He says, I'm size 11. He says, oh, these only go up to size 10 and a half. Anyway, look, if you don't want the 30 grand, that's no problem. The phone went silent, like. And Coleman, like, he says, what'd you say there? He says, look, if you don't want the 10 and a half, that's, he says, look, to be honest with you, he says, I have a pair of going out shoes and they're 10 and a half. And I could probably try them for a couple of weeks, he says. He ended up fucking catching us out, so yeah. It was good times.
How much enough aiming back then, you boys, were you?
We was a bit harmless, surely. There was a bit of clustering about now, as they say. But
you never really caught up with Mulligan off the field, did you?
We tried to. We never actually met him now, but I think 2005. 2005, and this is how far off the pace mentally we were. Because Tyrone were having an All-Ireland homecoming, and me, Cass says, flip it, we was well to go up there, we'll never get one. And I think it was a Tuesday night, and again we says we'll go up for a few pints, go on me. I think we met Ricey and we met a few boys, and flipping ended up in a house party, and we had a wild capacity to find house parties. So, ended up at a house party in Omagh, woke up down to Sally O'Brien's and ran out of money. It's about a fiver between us. And lucky enough, I knew a boy in Omagh, Eddie O'Kane. And I says, Eddie, we're badly stuck here. Can you give us a few pounds? And threw us 100 sterling. We were like, yes. And we need to find Mugsy now. So
just randomly trying to find Mugsy.
We just says, we need to find this Mugsy man, seems like good crack. we're looking for partners. And he says, we'll need to get the hold of Mugsy. And no phones, no nothing. It's Mugsy's Cookstown. Right, jump in a taxi to Cookstown. And jumped in the taxi to Cookstown, landed in the bar. Is Owen Mulligan about? And no, we don't know where he is. And we just jumped in a taxi back to Letterkenny.
That was the 100 grand.
So that was Eddie O'Kane's money down the drain. Huh?
Yeah. And you didn't win the All-Ireland the following year?
Sorry?
You didn't win the All-Ireland the following year after that, like?
No. Jesus, we took us a while to get some cop on now, but no, I showed you where, from a serious thing, that, you know, we were thinking that we would never won the All-Ireland. And we had bloody too much respect for these boys. And had them up on a pedestal, thinking the likes of they were great players, but there's a certain way you need to look across them rather than look up to them. And we did the same with Kerry for years. We love Kerry. Kerry, lovely lads, lovely footballers, but they would cut your throat as quick as to get that medal. And we just didn't know how to operate at that level.
Owen, the All-Ireland medals that you won, so 03 is a story in its own right, 05, there's a lot behind that too, and then 08 happens, and they're all very different for you, even personally, even performance-wise, they're very different. You spoke about how 05 it clicked for you. 08, you earn your way back in late on, and we saw the brilliant impact you made there with that dive in the box in the last 2 minutes as well.
Did you get a free for that? Did you actually get a free?
No.
Jesus. In fairness, though, you did lay on a couple of scores when you did come on.
I think it was... Morris Deegan referee, and he just went like this, here, fuck's sake, he laughed.
He gave me that pedal against Mayo. Yeah, Morris, legend.
Your journey in 08 was probably
2008 was a complete write-off for me. Write-off. I got injured earlier on. I ripped my hamstring really, really bad. And everybody, you know, if you have a hamstring injury and you're training flat out,
yeah,
and you come back, everybody's fucking so far ahead of you.
Yeah,
it's unreal.
You rush it then and...
Rushed it again, injured again. Suddenly you're looking down, you have a wee half stone on you, like, and it's ulcer, it's ulcer final day, like, you know what I mean? So, but I'm starting to come back and Mickey Hart says, right, the week before the final, we've got a in-house game to play.
Before the All-Ireland final?
Before the All-Ireland final that week. This will decide whether you have, where you're going on, where you're going to make the squad, you know, the usual crack yourselves, lads. You know the story.
But you reckon that 15-15 would have that much of an impact on the...
In certain positions, without a doubt. But we actually spoke to Stephen O'Neill about this as well. That's the same year that O'Neill retires.
Come back.
He comes back 3 weeks beforehand. Can you talk to us about how that happened? How does a man come back 3 weeks before an All-Ireland final?
I'll tell you how it fucking happened.
We're not bitter about it.
Right. No, I'm absolutely not, because I fucking was one of the boys that put my hand up like this. I'm only messing. We had a meeting about it. And there was a few players that...
Yep.
You know,
we disabled Cuddly.
A few players says no way. We've went ahead of him. We've went ahead without him so far. We've did very well. We're in North Ireland final, whatever it is. But they're the same lads that soldiered with him through minors, under 21s, and there was a few that disagreed with him.
Why wasn't Stephen O'Neill playing at the time?
He got injured 2 years before it and just couldn't get back. And, you know, just decided, right, my body's not fit for it. But like that year. The club, you looked at the paper, Stephen O'Neill, 8 points. Stephen O'Neill, 7 points. Stephen O'Neill, 1-4.
Unbelievable, yeah.
And Hart then, I think it was something going on with him and Hart, whatever it was, but they made up as well and says, right, I'm going to bring you in. But we had a meeting in Podge Quinns to say, right, we're going to have a vote here. And there's a few players says, no. And I says, look, I stood up and says, lads, this man's been here, minors, under 21s, seniors. He says, if we're getting beat 2 points by Kerry, and you look at the bench, and you look at Stephen O'Neill, and he's not there to bring him on, you know, you'll kick yourself in the ass so many times. But if he is there and he comes on, wins the game for you. I'd know if you agree with that. Would you bring him back?
We had the exact same thing in 19 with Connolly.
Yeah.
Exact same thing with us there.
Connolly was in Boston, was he? Or did he go
tried to go, and the feds wouldn't let him go over, so he had to stay. But the same thing, he'd obviously had a couple of incidents with referees and stuff, and was suspended, and then just kind of said, this is probably different from Stephen. Stephen came on the show, actually spoke about this a year or two ago, with injuries. Dermot was just kind of like, listen, I'm not doing this. And we were going well, but we were obviously our kind of pinnacle. We were playing Kerry in the final as well, and... Exact same situation. Genuinely, Dermot, we'd all knew him, played with us for years, minor, under 21. We'd had lots of success. We'd won all Ireland together. He was obviously under a bit of pressure, and the opportunity, Jim was kind of keen to bring him back. Dermot kind of wanted to come back, but Jim didn't put it to a vote. He kind of made, it was similar to Mickey Hart. He made you think you were voting for it, but Jim made the fucking decision. Like, at the end, we're going, wait, what just happened there?
To be fair, you were number 26 in the panel in the game before that vote, weren't you? Like, you were literally.
Well, I rung Mulgrew that day, and I says, look, what number are you? And he says, I'm 27, whatever. And I says, you've now a phone number in your back because Stephen Neal's coming back. You know what I mean? Like, we're that far down the packing order. And we had that in-house game, and we went to, what do you call it? I says, look, we'll prepare really, really well for this. We went up to Carrickdale after the match, or after training, went up to Carrickdale ice baths. Mulgrew says, you fancy a pint? I says, aye, sure, we'll go for one. You know yourself, it's never one, like, it's never one.
We do know that, yeah.
One, two, three, and then Mulgrew comes out with the waiter, you know, the towel around him and the gin with the fancy bowl, you know, the gin bowl. Like, it's a full session, phones turned off. Like,
what day was this?
It was the Friday, and then house game was the Saturday.
All Ireland final is a week later.
And a week later.
Jesus Christ.
We did.
And where did you end up, like?
we end up on Johnny Murphy's in Killeavy, but we said we were at a Mary Black concert.
Because she was very good at the time.
Am I remember this correctly, that Mickey Hart gets a phone call from your mom at 5
my ma phoned Mickey Hart. They were out looking at torches down the Seven Sisters. Like, my ma blew me fucking cover. Like, do you know what I mean? Like, all right, she was worried about us, but like, I remember going to Raymond McGrew's old boy, like, God rest him, and he's like, my old boy was there, like, two school teachers, and I was like, where are we at? And I says, we ended up in Mary Black concert. And he talked real deep voice. He says, Murray Black, my fucking ass. He says, you know, but look, as I said, we played the in-house game the next day. Like, and
how was you going?
I scored 7 points. I think I was still fucking drunk. So I think that's what probably got me on. But I've come out, I've did these podcasts before, and that medal doesn't really mean as much.
As much.
Because I've took somebody else's part in it, and I knew the boys that day were saying, that cunt was out, like, that man
the lads
out,
know. Like, is that, is that
the, fucking certain.
Yeah, you know, that's the worst
they
part.
They did the celebrations as well, like,
weren't the same.
This wasn't the same.
And did Stephen O'Neill play the AVB?
Stephen O'Neill, come on. Yeah.
But 20, in the AVB
20 minutes in.
Eh?
Did he play the AVB game?
Oh, fuck.
Or the 15 on 15?
He scored about 1-7 that day.
Did he?
He did.
Stephen O'Neill's an amazing player, and you said it, and we had the same situation. You know the quality of this guy, and yeah, it's probably going to hit you. You're a sub and you're trying to get minutes, but you've got to push. That's the nature of a team, a successful team. You've got to go, this will benefit all of us. Even if personally it's an absolute kick in the hole and I mightn't get minutes. You obviously did get out in the end.
I was probably biased. I was probably biased towards it because I'd played with him right up from 15 years of age, right through, and what he can do with the ball, and he's
something else.
And how did he, Muggsy, how did he feel about coming back? Because he probably would have felt an element of discomfort as well coming back into your dressing room.
I don't think he took the medal. No, I could be wrong there, but I don't think he took the medal. He didn't go up.
Yeah, I heard that.
Didn't go up the steps?
Didn't go up the steps.
Jesus.
That's the sort of fella he is. Now, I could see what Hart was doing because it just wasn't for the All-Ireland final. It was for the 3-4 years on after it. And he was right, like, you know, he was right. He played right up to, you know.
Sure. The clip of the... Wasn't it the poor Peter Kelly from Kildare, the Superman blocks on Stephen O'Neill in Croke Park? He's still playing 4 or 5 years later. Like,
he was, Stephen O'Neill was, you know, him and Canavan up there were the best. Like.
But we were saying in the green room before, that for your goal, right, the goal, Stevie's pass to you, I don't think that would be played now. Like, I don't think that teams take on that risk because they don't have the quality, first of all, the fella inside to win it. And actually make the run. But secondly, the fella to look in and have the quality to put a one bounce pass into a man's chest. Like,
I think some teams do. I think, fair to say, the majority don't.
But if you have that one or two players who can do that, you need them. You need them on the field. Like, you need them in the group.
Tyrone probably had 5 or 6 back then. You had Brian McGuigan, you had different boys.
McGuigan, class.
Yeah. Yeah, but how many forwards now is... This goes back to my thing against forwards here. Where you just... put a ball in and it could be 60-40 and they're able to win it. Like that ball, Theo O'Neill, like, you know, a good defender's probably going to get a hand in there.
Yeah.
But, you know, Muggsy's there and forwards think they've gone through, and again, it's come on the other side, forwards went through a phase where, you know, just it has to be handed to them.
Yeah. I could not agree more. Honestly, the way the game has gone at the moment, it's loops, it's hand passes, it's... a little screen and get a fella on it handy. The best skill as a forward, in my opinion, is to be able to receive a kick pass. Yeah. Because there's so much to it and it opens up a whole defence. Like, if you can actually have a relationship with a fella outside that you're going to get free and present for a kick pass, it's goal. Like, obviously, if you have you inside, it's a goal chance.
That's why Brian McGuigan was so good. I played with my cousin, Barry Mulligan, as well, for Hoochstown Father Rocks, and he had the same brain. He was two steps ahead of everybody else, and he would make you win your 70-30 or your 60-40. He would, you know, he wouldn't give it right in. And McGuigan was so good at just giving you the one bounce pass, and then you create your loops, whatever it was. But like that's what makes people tick. Like, and you talk about the Canavans and O'Neills, McGuigan, and I'd say Jared Calvin.
And you watch, like, if you watch for the rest of the games in the summer. It might not be on as long, but that forward pass, I'm saying that to, you know, anybody I'm talking about in coaching, that forward pass is on at all times. There'll be a wee pocket. you need to just use it, but the run needs to be made, and you need to trust the forward.
We were 3 points up in the last match against Hughes. I think it was McKern that broke, and it was over on the left hand side, and the pass was on, or it could have been Shawnee O'Donnell, and you're saying give it to him, and he turns back.
Gets turned over.
He turns back because that's in Shawnee O'Donnell's locker, but it's just fear.
Inexperience. If I kick this away, and that is the biggest thing. Like you guys have, obviously Derek Hanneman. We say certain forwards. Young Flynn, the Roscommon corner forward, Ben O'Carroll, Bridgetts, they're small players, but they're actually ball winners. And they stand out so much because it is so rare that you see it. Like, you look, everyone loves it on the loop because it's easy. The ball is handed to you. Winning the ball, won the player to actually make the kick pass and go for the 40, 50 yard kick pass because there's a fear if I turn this ball over, Tyrone are going to hurt us, or Donegal in particular, obviously unbelievably did it against Derry in the Ulster quarter final. When we played, it was the same story. Do not turn the ball over there. You are going to be killed. And it just, particularly for younger, inexperienced players, if I kick this away, I'm fucked. I'm going to be subbed. And that, you can see it in so many players. If you play at that level, you're playing senior inter-county football, you have the skill set to do it. But mentally, players aren't taking those risks.
Did you have, and both of you boys have coached at under 20 levels, and I know you were involved in that brilliant Tyrone team a few years ago, and they had a brilliant success again at the weekend. Is there something that can be done to coach the fear out of fellas?
It's just, I think, I don't know what Muggsy feels, it's just empowering people and saying to them, obviously you have to coach them to see that pass, but it's about, you know, and if it doesn't work out, it's okay too now, but...
To be fair...
They beat us after extra time.
No, I agree with you. To be fair, when we were coaching Dermot was... coaching the, you know, and I was coming in with the forwards and stuff. We were coaching the kick pass, but we couldn't really kick, we couldn't really do that when we played the Ulster teams because it was so tight. But see, when we got out of Ulster,
nearly have to kick out of defence rather than kick in attack, isn't it?
Yeah,
you kick earlier in the move.
So the Ulster matches were so tight and so defensive, but see, when we played Kerry in the semi final, we started to kick, and then obviously the final, we worked on moves, and our first goal came first 3-4 minutes, and it was textbook off the training ground, and you think fuck me, you feel like Jose fucking Mourinho, because you look around at fucking Dermot and Paul Duke, and you're saying, Jesus Christ, we worked on that.
Did you go straight
to the
so that's but it's just so much blanket defence, but then you look at the Donegal and Armagh game, the first half.
Yeah.
It was unreal.
But the shooting was
unreal, man. Yeah. You know, why can't the long distance shooting, it's the only way to beat the defence, the blanket defence. Why can other teams not catch that on?
Yeah. Well, I think you do need to prepare differently for teams in Ulster versus Dublin and Kerry. I think there is a stark difference. That's why it's going to be very interesting to see what McGuinness comes with against the bigger team. And I think there is going to be a plan for that. And I can see Donegal playing completely differently. With a more kick passing game.
Thing is, though, we won't know because they built a fence recently around Convoy and nobody can see him. Nobody had a clue what he was working on before Derry. You didn't even know when Neil's on the backroom team.
The fence is brilliant, but you know, from a psychological point of view, he's saying, we're in here, we're doing our thing, and you know, fuck the rest of them.
Did you have any trees around the fence that could be climbed?
No. And it's interesting the way McGuinness makes sure.
I hope everyone got that reference. He's just brushed off.
Do you know that story about develop the tree?
Killarney, is actually shit. We were staying away.
Is he here tonight? No.
No, I'll give you the story. So we were training last session before the All Ireland final in 2014, and obviously we had the sessions cordoned off at the time. I don't know how you that time. Eamon Fitzmaurice was the first person to say in Kerry, just there's nobody coming in.
But you became Donegal there for 3 weeks because you aped their system to beat them, didn't you?
Yeah, because we need to we need to train specifically for them, which is fine. So we were training last AVB game, and the Gooch, if you remember, was after doing his cruciate playing for Dr. Crokes against Castlebar in the club championship.
In February.
So he missed the whole season, but he just came back, would you believe, for that AVB game. In Killarney, right?
Was he good?
Oh, he was absolutely sensational. Like, for a fellow who kicked the ball for the first time in how long, he was the best player on the pitch by a mile. And during the game, the county board chairman got a phone call. And he was like, there's something happening up a tree outside the stadium. They're looking in at the game. And he was like, no, there couldn't be. But look, we'll check it out. So eventually he left it off and a phone call again. No, there's definitely something happening outside. The tree is swaying and we can see someone there. So he went out, and just as he was getting to the tree, he saw a fella jump out of the tree anyway and absolutely leg it. But he dropped his wallet, phone number, the whole lot on the floor. So the lads rang him and said, look, you were watching training there up in Sierra Stadium. Yeah, do you know, just a huge Kerry fan. I was delighted to see Cullen back, and do you know, I just love football, love Kerry. Best luck to the weekend. Have you any ties to Donegal? Who? Have you any ties to Donegal? Oh, is that who you're playing? Is it? Absolutely no idea. So we left it off. Checked your man's Facebook. First profile photo. Best man at Jim McGuinness's wedding.
No.
There was some Glenty's connection there. No?
He was outed straight away. It was classic. But you'd have it, though, because you need to get any bit of a leg up you can, like.
So it's funny because he'd convinced us we were so paranoid. And I remember him, we were in Balbuffet at the time at Coole Park. And he'd convinced me there was somebody just sitting having a wee nosy. And he's, look, it's a fucking Mayo man up there. I says, is it, Jim? He's a fucking Mayo man, surely.
This 2012.
Is this some just random around having it? And it was brilliant. And you're buying into this whole thing. And that's what he wanted, you know. It's us against the world. Yeah.
Did you have that in Tyrone?
Oh, sure, jeez, Tyrone. Everybody's against Tyrone.
You don't need to make it up, but it's Tyrone. Like.
Well, didn't the fences built up or fucking tree huts, like? But you know, no.
Chips on the shoulder.
Hart definitely did the siege mentality, you know, that sort of thing. We had no set. There's no Irvine them days, like, you're going through every pitch under the sun, like, and Hart would say, no, we'll go to this place, you go to Glenelly, and like.
Well, so you wouldn't train the same place every night?
No, jeez. Fucking all around the place, like.
This is the mid-2000s, James. You were still in school.
You know, it's mental, like. Fucking Glenelly is in the middle of nowhere, like, and I'm like, what the fuck are we doing here? Like, you know, the one name of the Biraco, we're just disguising stuff, lads, you know, that sort of way. So,
yeah.
That's the way it was.
We are going to be taking a break really, really shortly. And I'm going to get in trouble with my producers, Kathleen and Catherine, because I haven't taken it yet. But we will, and we'll let you grab a pint and do whatever you have to do. And we'll be back then for about a half an hour. But I just wanted to get to one thing on this. I think you mentioned, or one of you has mentioned, when you mentioned Jose Mourinho and when something comes off in the training ground and what that feels like. And I was feeling it in the Donegal game. McGuinness was obviously working on a plan for months. It comes off, poor Oran Lynch. They're caught time after time again. That must be a really powerful thing as a team. You must have felt that in 11, 12, 14, when you were doing things. You were getting booed against Dublin in the All-Ireland semi-final. When things were coming off, that must be really powerful.
Ah, yeah, it is. Now, I think we played Tyrone in 2012, and the club had a Guess the Score competition, and McGuinness is going through the game, and he's saying, you know, it's going to be 1-11 to 114 or whatever the score was, and I threw in the score and guess, like, I bought two lines and I threw in McGuinness's prediction and I won it. So I says to myself, Jesus, McGuinness man must know what he's chatting about. And in the Dublin game, you know, he's chatting about goals.
It's 11
and 14. Yous are like flying, and he's chatting about not just goals but goals. Yeah. He says there's three or four goals here. And at the start, you're saying, well, where is it? Like, but as you go on the week, the 2 weeks, watch the video, you're thinking, there is goals here.
Yeah.
Mm. And interestingly enough, chatted a boy after the, again, remain nameless, but after the Derry game, same thing. You know, they chatted about goals, not goal. He says, we watched them, and we knew there was goals there. So it was...
Yeah.
On that, we did the National League finals. Two or three months ago, me and you were doing a Tommy for after ball, and we're up on the seventh floor of Crow Park, and the best view in the final was one of the worst fucking matches I've ever seen in my life. Donegal, Armagh, and Donegal won, and then Dublin were playing Derry afterwards.
There's a bit of shadow boxing that day.
And you interviewed McGuinness after So the Gael obviously won. Great finish for them. And he was mad to get over and watch Derry Dublin match. And he sat down, and that game turned into a classic, and the Donegal players won, and they were sitting right down at the bottom of the Holman stand, and the players were getting up to leave, and you just, McGuinness was like, no, sit back down. So, but you could just see, he was just watching this, and planning for Derry, absolutely planning to play the Dubs at some stage in the summer. You could just see, it was watching it, he was obsessed with what was happening, and he could see it. And I know we'll chat about this after, in terms of tomorrow's game. The plan against Mickey Hart and Derry was exceptional, executed unbelievably by the players. They probably haven't reached that peak again. They won the games, obviously against Tyrone and against Armagh, but they haven't had the time, I suppose, to work on, be so specific and so obsessed with the game plan. I know that very famously when he beat us, there was a 3-week lead in and there was a plan and he took us apart as well. And that's the interesting thing now. What do we see from what's McGuinness's? Not just McGuinness, he gets out. The players are exceptional at what they're doing as well. What's their next trick?
Yeah.
And that's the fascinating thing about tomorrow, right, and the next couple of weeks in the group stage.
Yeah, for sure. On that note, I know what my first question is to you when I come back. I'm not going to tell you off stage here, but we'll pick it up when we come back after the break. Thanks to everyone so far for coming out and for listening into us. We're here with thanks to AIB, proud sponsor of the Senior Football Championship. We're in the Mount Argyll Hotel in Letterkenny. Fantastic being on the road with AIB, and we're going to do it again a couple of times this year. Eamon McGee, Owen Mulligan, thanks so much so far. We'll be back in 20 minutes. James and Paddy, good work.
See you lads.
The Football Pod on Off the Ball.
In partnership with AIB.
Proud sponsors of the GAA Senior Football Championship.
Check out #thetoughest for more.